Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with MoneyWeb.
Donald Trump's second inaugural address was nothing short of a spectacle. Equal parts triumphalism, grievance, and bold assertion of power. He also framed his escape from an assassination attempt as a metaphor for an America that, in his words, will not be conquered. He also pledged a new golden age of prosperity, security, and global dominance. But beneath all of that grand rhetoric, I think, was a darker tone. Warnings of a nation under siege, promises to reclaim the Panama Canal, and veiled threats to reshape America's legal and political institutions. Let's try and pull all of this together. I can think of no better person to turn to than Professor John Stremlaw, Honorary Professor of International Relations at Fitz University. Professor, a very warm welcome to you. The second inaugural speech was classic Trump. It was defiant, it was nationalist, and I think deeply polarizing. How did you see it?
Well, thank you, Jeremy. And your introduction was, I can't really improve on that. It gave all of the contradictions inherent in the presentation. It was a little toned down from the speech that he gave on the first inaugural address, but only slightly. And it was riddled with contradictions. I appreciate your producer sending me the Guardian publication that listed his contradictions and lying. But I'd like to say that The Economist this week talked about the Trump doctrine in advance of the State of the Union, and it was an effort to try to treat Trump as though he has a doctrine for foreign policy, but he doesn't really. His doctrine is best summed up by Dr. Mary Trump, his psychologist niece, who wrote the book Too Much Is Never Enough. And I think it helps to think about Trump and the Trump doctrine as the maximization of income. It's insatiable. Secondly, avoid accountability, especially stay out of jail. And the third is no integrity. And I went back and read both Mary Trump's book, but also Ronnie Casserole's on a simple man, Jacob Zuma, to understand the sense of lack of truth-telling and using information to leverage whatever the truth is, leverage the arguments. So that's really it.
Professor, on a wider global stage, let's bring it back to South Africa. How should Pretoria be positioning itself now in this new era of volatility and geopolitical uncertainty?
Well, Jeremy, I'm angry at the Americans because, aside from my own partisan purposes, I felt that Democrats had a healthy understanding of the complexities of this democracy and its striving to move forward. And certainly the government of national unity is resonating positively with Democrats, but also some Republicans who recognize the importance of a government of national unity. And I wish we had one in the United States. But the opportunity costs of trying to figure out how to position South Africa with regard to the Americans, I think Trump's America, I think a lot about, and I don't really have any simple answers right now. And I sympathize with Ronald Lamola and the Durko colleagues, as well as Ephraim Rasool, who's got a tough, tough job as being ambassador. And I just decry the time wasting in trying to figure out how to position itself with regard to the American efforts. Take a case of the Middle East conflict. You know, Trump is credited with having weighed in, or Steve Witkoff, his agent, weighing in. But in this speech yesterday, he only mentioned the hostages. He didn't mention the 46,700 plus Palestinians who were killed in a little population of 2.2 million in Gaza, and the place destroyed. And he's appointing an ambassador designate, Saunders, of the former governor of Arkansas, who is an ethnic cleanser. And I just despair that South Africa could have played a useful role with a Kamala Harris win, because she would have tried to get a two-state solution. And I'm not sure that unless the Saudis weigh in, and this gets back to Trump's concern about maximizing his income and his money. Jared Kushner has big loans from the Saudis, and in the Abraham Accords, at least the Saudis say a two-state solution is a sine qua non for, you know, for recognizing Israel, and that may make the difference.
Professor, I acknowledge the difficulty that Durko is going to have in formulating any kind of opinion, but given our strong BRICS ties, do you think that Trump's policies, such as we know them, could eventually push South Africa closer to China and Russia, or do you think there's room maybe for us to maintain a more balanced approach?
Not in the short term, and I say this with regret, because I thought that South Africa was playing a useful role in BRICS. Its democracy is beyond question. I mean, Cyril Ramaphosa acknowledged the primacy of the Constitution in forming the government of national unity. And we can talk about the reasons for that, but another time. But still, it is a paragon of a young democracy struggling to reconcile. And yet the Democrats understood that, and Joe Biden, in fact, had championed the overturning of the rejection of the by Reagan of the comprehensive anti-apartheid legislation back in the 80s. And so they understood what is South Africa. The background paper for the Project 2025 recommends all cutoff of aid to South Africa, AGOA and concessionary support for in the multilateral institutions and on. Now, AGOA is only 10% of trade with America for South Africa, but the vital trade from an American standpoint is in the rare minerals. And whether they can leverage that, I'm sure that greater minds than mine and economists are struggling with figuring out what the contingencies are, and that we'll have to wait and see. But their leverage that South Africa has against the U.S., and whether or not they can use that, I don't know, but it's worth keeping that in mind. But I would like to have the South Africans stay in AGOA and make sure that the trade surplus that we have here with America is continuing. But also the psychological and the market reassurance of being in part of AGOA is important. So I hope they stay in AGOA, but I worry that Trump will single out South Africa.
I'm going to leave it there. Professor John Stremlo, Honorary Professor, International Relations at Wits University here in Johannesburg. Thank you very much indeed.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.